This is your teacher, Dingley May, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall deal now with your documentary lesson number 13. Peace be unto you. Now, my beloved, we have been engaged in the uncovering of truth as expressed in this initiate group course in mental physics for the last 12 weeks. This 13th lesson is nominally for your 13th week study. Now, looking backward, I would like you to ask yourself whether you have maintained that zeal that you felt at the start. Are you satisfied with the progress you are making? On the one side, are you faithful with your breathings? On the other, are you regularly giving to your meditational side of this great study an hour a day that you promised yourself when you started? If you are regular in your practice, which with all my heart I hope you are, success is assured. But if you are just one of those ordinary people who mostly are only prepared to nibble at this and to nibble at that, I would like to inspire you to make a vow with yourself that during the next few weeks you will be more faithful than during the last. Now, your documentary lessons, my beloved, are now going to become much more useful, and I think of much greater interest. But unless you have learned all that has so far appeared, learned it in a manner that it has become a part of your own new consciousness, you cannot derive all the benefit that you should from what you will come hereafter. Therefore, be strong, be faithful, be loyal to yourself. Renew your promises to yourself and go forward with new zest and new zeal. Now, the title of this 13th documentary lesson is Man and the Realm of Mind. Man and the Realm of Mind, the first part. In an ancient Oriental book, we read, "The hen can hatch her eggs because her heart is always listening. That is an important magic spell. The reason the hen can hatch the eggs is because of the power to heat. But the power of the heat can only warm the shells. It cannot penetrate into the interior. Therefore, with her heart, she conducts this power inward. This she does with her hearing. In this way, she concentrates her whole heart. When the heart penetrates, the power penetrates, and the chick receives the power of the heat and begins to live. Therefore, a hen, even when she has left her eggs, always has the attitude of listening with bent ear. Thus, the concentration of the spirit is not interrupted. Because the concentration of the spirit suffers no interruption, neither does the power of heat suffer interruption day or night, and the spirit awakes to life. The awakening of the spirit is accomplished because the heart has first died. When a man can let his heart die, then the primordial spirit awakes to life. To kill the heart does not mean to let it dry and wither away, but it means that it is undivided and gathered into one." Now, the Buddha said, "When you fix your heart on one point, then nothing is impossible for you. The heart easily runs away, so it is necessary to gather it together by means of breathing power. Breathing power easily becomes coarse, therefore it has to be refined by the heart. Breathing alone serves to remove laziness. Although the breath that flows in and out through the nose is not the true breath, the flowing in and out of the true breath is connected with it. Jesus the Christ declared that we must lose our life to find it. Now, my beloved, man is mind. That is what you are. That is what I am. Man is mind. That is, man is actually what he thinks. He thinks himself into what he becomes. Now, the above quotations may not be quite logical to you. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they were not. You may think that they do not make sense. Now, I have placed them here in the hope that they will make sense to you. But if they do not, it does not at this particular moment matter very much. To the man who knows, he will recognize them as a fitting introduction to the great realm of mind. Now, when we say that there are two minds, we do so for the purpose of clear thinking. There is, of course, only one mind, but separate functions of the one. The subconscious mind is comparatively a modern discovery of science, although it has been known under other names in the occult schools of the world for ages. But man seemingly has two minds, or at least two distinct phases of consciousness. Now give me your attention. These two distinct phases of consciousness are, first, the conscious or waking mind. This is usually called the objective mind. It seems to be the result of external stimuli to organized brain cells in the cortex of the brain, directed by incoming or efferent sensory impressions. When you sleep, it sleeps. The conscious mind sleeps when you sleep. Now, the conscious mind seems to be the analyzer, the comparer, the reasoner. The conscious mind acts as a sentinel or watchman at the doorway to the subconscious mind. The conscious mind reasons from cause to effect. The conscious mind is the man at the wheel, the captain on the bridge of his steamer, the general in the field. Now then, number two, the subconscious, or unconscious, or subliminal mind. This is usually called the subjective mind, the conscious mind being called the objective mind. Now, this subjective mind is present before birth. Though for long scientists said that this subconscious mind resided in the cerebellum and medulla oblongata, it is now generally conceded that it occupies the whole human body. It would seem to be the living, immortal part of man. Now, bear in mind, we're talking about the subconscious mind. Now, unlike the conscious mind, the subconscious never sleeps. It never forgets. Its memory is simply faultless. The subconscious mind builds the body. Now, think what a power that is. To build the greatest and the most wonderful machine the world has ever seen. The subconscious mind keeps the body working, controls breathing, circulation of the blood, and all involuntary muscles when you are asleep as well as when you are awake. My beloved, the subconscious mind is your sublime power. Your sublime power, amenable to control by the power of suggestion and much more that we shall now begin to learn. Now, therefore, you see the difference between the conscious and the subconscious mind. Now, you reason with your conscious mind. Because you see footprints in the wet sand on the beach, your experience tells you that someone has walked that way. But when you stay to inquire whether those footprints are those of man or woman, boy or girl, then you are using your reason, the faculty to consider evidence and form a judgment. We then say that you are using your conscious mind, for you are conscious of those facts. Now, with the subconscious mind, it is quite different, altogether different. The subconscious mind has no faculty of reason or judgment. Therefore, the conscious mind has to decide for it. But the subconscious mind has all the power to do whatever it is directed by the conscious mind to do. Now, my beloved, this is the most important thing that we can ever learn. The bearing of this upon our subject in the science of mental physics is of the utmost importance. It will readily be seen that whatever the conscious mind accepts and decides upon as true, no matter how false it may be, the subconscious mind automatically accepts it as true without judgment.